Yeah, that's at the end. That's fine. So for the last presentation of the day, I'm going to give a brief update into the CERN SOC, Security Operations Center. So first of all, what's a Security Operations Center? Well, that's a centralized system dealing with the detection, containment, and remediation of IT threats, ensuring that security incidents are properly detected, identified, analyzed, reported, and most importantly, acted upon, because all the others are a bit useless if you don't act. In terms of system design at CERN, we have a unified platform for data ingress, storage, and analytics with multiple data access patterns for viewing it and accessing the data, both web-based dynamic dashboards for easy querying and reporting, creating dashboards, and also command line interface that's easy to script, and you can get data in format that you need, maybe to do something else with it. Then the whole design is based on extendable, pluggable architecture, and we rely as much as possible on services available and used elsewhere in the IT department. We do not want to be in our own corner doing our own thing and duplicating effort. I will get back to that. And of course, very importantly for us is to have unified data access control policies at all the different stages and to ensure that security data remains restricted access, and also have auditing in place. Now, in terms of the system architecture, we have quite a number of different sources of data. But first of all, we have our IDS systems. The main IDS system at CERN is Bro. We still also operate a Snort deployment and thinking of looking into Suricata for the future. Collecting system logs, and two particular categories of system logs are netlogs and ATSEC logs. So these are set of kernel modules developed at CERN that provide very detailed traceability information on all the network activity happening. So going back to the process responsible for that activity, the effective UID and the GID, the exact the session used, the parent of the process, the source, the destination, the type of a network transfer of activity, and similarly for exec log, is very detailed execution traceability of everything that was executed with all the context of which user was responsible for it, what was the path of the executable or the binary, what is the exact command executed. Then Active Directory, Kerberos logs, single sign-on logs, web logs, DNS logs, automatic scan logs, and web haul logs. So some of these are under our control, and I will get into more details into that, those ones. Others, like this part here, they are controlled by different groups inside the department. And there, for example, for web logs, they have their own plans on how to parse them and have them somewhere closer to the type of technologies that we are using here in the SOC. Then we have Flume. Flume is used for multiple purposes. So here, even though there is one single box here, Flume is deployed both here on these sources of data. Why? To do this part of parsing, doing an initial parsing of the logs and normalizing them, because these are all different sources, so data is being produced in different ways, and what we are interested in is that once it reaches this part here, everything is normalized. All the source IP addresses are called source IP in the same way. All the source ports are the same. All the host names, they are in the same format. They use FQDNs or short host names and so on. So that's the normalization part. And we also have a parsing component because, of course, the original format for the different sources of data is different between them. And in addition, we have a set of Plume gateways that are used to collect data from tens of thousands of machines, collect them in a few points, and then distribute them later on to the next stage, which is Kafka. And this is acting as our central data backbone. This is where all the data lands. And from here, we have another set of Plume gateways. But the purpose of these Plume gateways is different. This is to make the bridge between Kafka and HDFS, which acts as our long-term storage, keeping the data there for 1 year, and Elasticsearch, which is acting as real-time indexing for us and providing us with quick access to data. And here, we strive to keep data for the last 3 months. Then, on Kafka, we also have Spark, which is used in stream processing mode to do analysis and detection of signs of malicious activity, doing also some basic data enrichment. I will provide more details on that later on. I have a number of different sources of information for data enrichment, some aggregation and correlation. And then we have another box here for enrichment, correlation, and aggregation, because we do this in two stages. Here it's a very lightweight, very fast enrichment, whereas here it's a more thorough enrichment, which happens not for all the data, but it only happens for notifications. So all notifications together with all the other logs, they end up in Elasticsearch, and then they get enriched a second time. Spark also used for custom jobs and batch jobs, and then we have a very small box here, CM, which for now is just a box. So if all the other components are being worked on, this is something that we have not started working on yet. Now, providing a few more details, in terms of log collection, as I was saying, some sources of data we fully control, and that's the ones we started with. We are progressively scaling up. And we started with Bro. That's something we have full control of. And here we have close to 1 terabyte of logs per day produced by Bro itself, which is already sufficient to stress the different components of the system. Now we are currently adding syslog, where we have partial control. We have control of those scanner modules that produce data in syslog format, but then we want to collect a lot more than just the data that we produce. And other third-party logs will be added at a later stage. In terms of transport of logs, we use Flume and Kafka. As I was mentioned, Kafka is our central data backbone, and here we aim to keep data for the past 24 hours. Flume is used for ingress, parsing, and normalization. Already mentioned, we have the different gateways. And we did start having our own cluster. We did build and operate our own cluster. That's because when we started building up this SOC, there was no centralized Kafka service inside the department. In the meantime, there is a new one, and now we are in the process of migrating to the centralized service, which comes with all the features you would envision for such an application. That means support for encryption, authentication, authorization, ACLs, and so on. Then, moving into threat intelligence, Mist acts as the sole threat intelligence platform at CERN. We do operate a number of different instances. We have our main CERN instance that is being synchronized with a large number of other instances and communities. And here we have close to 500,000 IOCs. Now, you can imagine with 500,000 IOCs, the rate of false positives that you can get, which is very, very close to what was mentioned in the previous talk. For that reason, we have decided to export only the last 30 days worth of IOCs into the detection infrastructure, which for us, it means Bro and the Spark stream processing. And with the last 30 days, it's manageable. So we roughly get between 5 and 30, 40 notifications per day. We could have some days where we get more. And sometimes it happens that whoever adds Microsoft.com or Google.com with the set with the 4IDS flag checked, and then it's a bit of a mess. But we only detect on, we do not automatically block on that. Then whatever we have in our main instance and we can export, we are allowed to share with others, we automatically synchronize it to the central WLCG instance. And there we have currently more than 160,000 IOCs. And then we also operate a development instance, and that's what's used for the MIST developments that we are doing at CERN, and also for validating new MIST releases. They first get validated there, and then they get pushed on the other production instances. In terms of detection, we do offload the detection on the network side to our IDS systems, Bro and Snort. And detection for all other sources of data is being done using Spark streaming. And there we use Bloom filters, which are very space efficient, to do an export of all the different IOCs from MISP and have a very quick and efficient pattern matching and processing of the data. About the broad deployment, there was a dedicated talk about this at the last HAPIX. I will just give a brief overview. So we have the CERN network on one side, the internet on the other side. Then we have the backbone routers, gate routers, on which you have the stateful firewalls and external routers. What we have deployed together with the networking team is a network aggregator and traffic splitter. I should mention that the links here going to this network aggregator and traffic splitter are unidirectional mirrors. So this here, I should probably remove the arrows. This is, well, at the base it's a router, but it's not configured as a router. It's only configured for mirroring traffic, aggregating it and splitting it over to the cluster of Bro machines, which are 16 in total. And currently, we only mirror the traffic that would go to the firewalls, through the firewalls. And we have plans to monitor all traffic, even the one that would bypass the firewall, for which we have dedicated rules in place. And that's the next step we are working on. I was mentioning enrichment earlier. So we have a first phase, which is a lightweight enrichment. Happens with Spark for all data sources. This needs to be very light and quick. We know that there might be times when it's not 100% accurate, and it's something that we take into account, but it's something like 98% of the time accurate. It's mainly used for dashboards and further analysis. And as an example of the kind of enrichment we do here, it's forward and reverse DNS resolutions. That's because whenever we have IP addresses, we also want to have host names. Or whenever we only have host names, we want also to add the IP address. But of course, DNS is not 100% accurate. Because we, of course, for this to be extremely efficient, we do caching at multiple levels. And due to the different caching done on top of other caches, you could have stale information. Then, only for detected malicious activity, we do a second stage of enrichment. And at this stage, we have increased accuracy and aiming for 100% accuracy. Of course, this takes a lot more time to do, but it's fine because we do not have millions of notifications per day. And here we also do aggregation and correlation of information. We get the context. So what happened with the two endpoints the involved around that time, what else was contacted, what happened on the box, and so on. And this additional enrichment is used by us when notifying users and when doing the follow-up. Some of the lessons learned. Well, as you could expect, when you try to securely and reliably process more than 2 terabytes of logs per day, you would inevitably get into some bottlenecks. So I think there wasn't one single component where we didn't find bottlenecks and had to work around them. And here we need to acknowledge and thank our colleagues in the IT department for the various technologies and services that we rely on for their support and their help in ironing out all the different bottlenecks. So we are definitely on the right path. We still have a bit to go to be able to inject the full data rate, but we are not far from there. And you should expect some dedicated talks in future HAPIX meetings for the different systems. At least, for Elasticsearch there was already some plan for that. Now, I won't go into many details here, but I can provide one example. This code is from Flume. And can you spot what could potentially go wrong here? It's not a huge amount of code, so hopefully it will be easy to spot. So this code is supposed to read the line. It's from the tildeer Flume source. So this is a Flume source that you tell it you want to monitor a directory or a file. Usually you do it on files. And you tell it, OK, monitor this file. And whenever something gets appended to this file, just fetch it, ingest that data. Well, what they were doing here was reading character by character. Well, as you could imagine, that doesn't really scale when you want to ingest 0.5 terabyte a day from one node. And this was quite problematic for us because this is a very old code from Flume 1.6. It was fixed in Flume 1.7 where they do something sensible, which is reading buffers. And it's a lot faster. It's probably 100 times faster than this, reading character by character. But we at CERN, we use Cloudera Hadoop. And the Flume that comes with Cloudera. And until 6 days ago, they did not backport the optimized code into the Cloudera release. Only with the latest release, they did that. And lastly, I should mention the WLCG SOC working group. So this working group has been set with the mandate to investigate different models for SOCs that could be applied at WLCG size of different sizes and to advise or to provide help to the sites on how to improve their detection capabilities based on the experience of the group. We initially focused around the development of a minimum viable product, which involved having raw ideas and MISP so that we could have something that can be easily actioned on, with additional components to be added soon to this stack. So that would mean how do you ingest the logs, transfer them, store them, analyze them, and so on. So if you're interested to participate, please get in touch with David Crooks or myself, and there you have the mailing list for the working group and the website. Thank you.
Okay, questions? Can you share a little bit about data rates? Like, what
what size is your bro cluster in terms of how many gigabits you try to ingest? And for Kafka, how many messages do you end up ingesting? Do you know?
So, yeah. So our bro cluster has a total of 16 nodes. We are currently not using all 16 of them, and we will probably not use all 16 of them. Most likely, we will use 8 of them. Should be sufficient. But 16 of them, they have been scaled to match. You should be able with one reasonably configured, with a reasonable configuration, bro node, you should be able to analyze 16 gigabits of data. And we have a total throughput currently of 160 gigabits. So that's why we initially got 16 of them. Now, as you would imagine, we do not use the 160 gigabits of bandwidth at all times. Well, we almost never do. In fact, in reality, it's much less. It's around 30, 40 gigabits. So the plans are to dedicate 8 of the 16 for the production cluster, to have 4 for text QA cluster, and then to have another 4 for doing PCAP monitoring of malicious traffic. Then in terms of total data rates, those are currently around 2.5 terabytes. Currently, we just got the production Kafka cluster on the central service. We got for now 10 machines because they didn't have more resources for now. It's quite clear that that may not be enough. And we will probably need to go to at least double that, to 20 Kafka brokers. Any other details if you're...
Okay, other questions?
So I especially like the last slide because obviously the, what you developed installed at CERN is not really practical for a small site. And I don't know if what you advise is the bar plus MISP only, but I looked at a product before, which is called OSSEC. I don't know if you ever heard of it, and if that could be used for something lightweight for a site.
Could be, but it will not cover all the traceability needs. So to a certain degree, it could be, and that's something. So if you're interested, please feel free to join the working group, and yes. We can have this added on the list of components to investigate. So the initial idea we started with in this working group was to provide some recipes or recommendations for larger sites on how to deploy a larger scale SOC for those that have the resources to do that. And then for smaller sites, the idea would be to try to come up with a sort of personal-like appliance that can be easily deployed on a smaller sites, and while not providing the full-blown SOC capabilities, provide some capabilities locally, but with minimal administration overhead. If we manage to do that, that's a different story.
Was there another question?
I have a question about the preservation date of all your data. You have a big data, and my question is, you delete your data regularly or you keep all the data?
So we strive to keep everything. We need to keep everything for traceability. If we have any incident, we need to be able to go back in time. Our data privacy policy states 1 year. So we keep 1 year. We had security incidents that were older than 1 year, and it was problematic. It was really problematic to get a full comprehensive idea or a global overview of the whole incident because we didn't have the logs any longer. But at some point, we need to draw a line, and we did publish our data privacy policy, which is now public. And all that we collect, for how long, who who has access, so.
This is not for compliance, but for law, it's your choice.
It's our choice, but we might be forced to comply with the GDPR, which will come into force soon.
Okay, well, let's thank Livio again.